Good evening, thanks for coming. I got a couple of remarks I'd like to make before we get started, just to talk about things. This is a transition period into a new league year. It's been hectic at times, like we all anticipated. There's still a lot of uncertainty out there. We understand the fans maybe uncertainty and feeling a little bit nervous about the way things are going, but and it can be unsettling. It's just a question of the pace. I think the actual, like take for instance, the free agency thing is sort of working like it always does, except it's just an accelerated pace. Free agency usually have these huge, frenetic contracts done early on, and then it tapers off by days and weeks and things like that. Now it's more like in hours. So hang with us on that. And everything is still very fluid. There's some things I can't talk about. There are people that were on our team that supposedly had signed with other teams, but we have not received the waivers yet today. I would assume that most of those would be on those waivers, but until we get those waivers, then we're not supposed to talk about it. There are some people that warrant some special mention. There's some guys that we let go this week, guys that have been with the Packers for a number of years. Start out with Mark Tauscher. I spoke with him. He is a true professional, always has been. He's a great Badger and a great Packer. I told him when we were talking, I said, you're probably a first ballot Packer Hall of Fame guy. But all these guys have played a long time, done a great job. Mark, great in the locker room, great leader. Great personality. I'm sure he was really good with all you guys. Nick Barnett, I think he had 8 years here, played outstanding. Another guy that I had a long talk with, and he really appreciated his time here. I think he's even delivered messages through tweets or something to that effect. Very stand-up guy and did a lot for the Packers. Brandon Chiller. The thing Brandon and I talked about, when I played, I was sort of that nickelbacker. And when I was playing, and then I knew how hard that was. And then when I watched Brandon both in college and in the pros, I told him he was the kind of player I wanted to be in terms of versatility and athletic ability. We had a great conversation. He was very appreciative of his time here. Brady Popinga, as you guys know, real hard-nosed, tough guy. He's very confident in his rehab where he is, and he thinks he's in the best shape of his life, and we wish him well. Played a lot of football for us. Justin Harrell, the guy that never really got it going. He had some injuries that held him back, things like that. I know he's received some public criticism, and I think that's unwarranted. He did everything we asked him to do, and he worked hard, and he played hard. It just didn't work out, and sometimes that happens. And if there's blame to be had, it should be pointed towards me instead of Justin, because he didn't do anything wrong. I did speak with all these guys, and it was good to see them and to say goodbye. As you can imagine, Russ Ball's been very busy with signings recently. I think we've had something like 27 or 30 signings in the last 36 hours. So that's keeping him pretty busy. Appreciate his help. Like I say, I was going to speak about some of our unrestricted free agents that supposedly have signed elsewhere. I can't really comment on them directly, but all the guys that I've heard about and that have signed somewhere else should know that we appreciate very much what they did for us and we wish them well in their role. The speed of this is sort of a reflection of the NFL itself, and it's the same way with the transactions. It's just reality. Those things are going to happen. They're not comfortable, and we have to make hard decisions, but that's our job, is to do that. I'm not the kind of person that enjoys that, as many of you know. I'm more of a builder than a guy that says goodbye. So this has been a tough time, especially with guys that have been with us and helped the Packers win and be successful. There's always going to be turnover, though, and change is inevitable. Again, I think the fact that this year's pace is such that it's probably a little bit more alarming to your readers and listeners and people that watch the television. And with that, I'll take a few questions. Like I say, there's a couple of things that I can't really comment on. Like, I'm not going to talk about who we may or may not want as free agents, obviously, or the depth of the discussions that we're having with any of our current free agents, because that's a very fluid and proprietary type information that we would need to keep amongst ourselves. And with that, I'll take some questions.
Ted, Mason Crosby's at about 78% for his career, which is in the lower quarter of kickers percentage-wise through that time. That's about 3.5 points, percentage points less than Longmore was. Why did you give him that kind of money?
Well, it's kind of where the market headed. We think Mason's a good kicker. We think his best football is in front of him, and we thought it was a wise investment.
Do you plan to be a player in free agency?
We're always players in free agency, mostly with our own players. We've always felt like it was a good policy to try to identify and keep as many of your own players as you can. Obviously, we've had some that may not be with us, but we keep our eyes open.
You were right
up against it with the salary cap, and now you have some leeway there. Do you have plans for that money, or are you signing on people? Yeah, probably. But, you always want some flexibility so that you can make good football decisions and not necessarily financial decisions.
Ted, do you think this is an extra risky free agency period because it's so rushed?
I don't know that. We've all had a lot of time to study it and go through different scenarios, which we've done as well. Certainly some teams are taking a different attitude than others, but that's normal. I don't know. I think, free agency usually happens pretty fast anyway. I mean, especially the high-end guys, but there's mistakes. You can make mistakes anytime, Vic, I guess is what I'm saying. And I don't know that this year's any more prone to it.
The Woodsons aren't, Charles Woodsons aren't going to happen. The guy hung on for a long time, and you got the chance to really scrutinize him and wait for him to come to where you want him to be. You got to go to where they are.
A little bit, yeah. I would like to find another Charles Woodsons. It'd be nice.
You said you understand fans being nervous and uh-huh. Can be unsettling. Without getting into specifics, because you don't, can you assure them that you're making an effort to re-sign some of the guys you have, specifically Jones and Kuhn?
I can not get very specific there. But rest assured, the fans should know that we're doing everything we can to be a good football team.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is pretty made some public statements about wanting to get James Jones back. To what extent, if any, do you listen to that or take that into account when the team leaders make?
Well, all of our players and all of our free agents are very well liked in the locker room, and I get little things like that from time to time.
Thank you.
You're going to have to lean on some unproven depth at inside linebacker or maybe in the backfield with some of the departures?
Well, it'll be different. Our group with, you know, we had a fairly remarkably talented group last year in terms of 1 through 4, 1 through 5 or something like that. But we have some guys that we're looking forward to seeing what they got.
Ted, turning the page on Justin Harrell's career here in Green Bay, was it one of those things where you just felt that he just couldn't stay healthy enough to help out your football team?
Yeah, I think it was just a question of, you know, a little bit too much bad luck, and it was time to move on.
What is Johnny Jolly's status with the league and with the Packers?
As far as I know, and I don't know this, I guess, for a fact, because I haven't, nobody's notified me. I'm assuming he's still suspended.
But can you rule out ever taking him back?
Well, I wouldn't, even if I had an idea on something like that, I wouldn't discuss it.
How much are you looking forward to tonight, finally getting to see these guys in action?
It would be nice. You know, all of our young guys, we've never actually seen them with a Packer helmet on. So that'll be nice to see. It's a little bit nerve-wracking because we signed quite a few college free agents and we have 10 draft choices. And normally, in a normal year, you would see them at the rookie mini camp where you have other invited rookies that are trying out and things like that. And the first thing you're nervous about is, you know, I hope these guys look the way they're supposed to look and move the way they're supposed to move. And we don't have that little buffer of the rookie minicamp. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, this is – and also these guys normally would go through a whole spring and summer in minicamps and OTAs and things like that with the veterans, so they know all those guys. And that this is all new to them. So – I'm sure we'll have a few people running the wrong way and bumping into people. Hopefully nothing too bad.
Any way you can accelerate your evaluation process in such a short time to evaluate?
Well, you have to, but it's still football. You know, you kind of watch guys and see if they assimilate pretty well. And you know, the learning curve, I think we'll have to understand that in some cases, you know, we're going to have a different measuring stick on things like that, but you know, we'll wind up with a good team, I think.
Can the seventh round picks, the undrafted guys, still carve out a niche for themselves, win a roster spot without two-a-days, without contact, without hitting everybody on the field? I mean, that's not going to be the case now.
Oh, sure. Again, it would have been nicer if we could have had them here in May and June and like we normally do, because that's a great evaluation time as well. But yeah, again, it's an accelerated pace, but yeah, sure they can.
What about the hitter, though? The guy that's what he does. He hits people, and he's not going to have that opportunity.
Well, we have padded practices. I mean, I'm not the one to talk because Mike gets mad at me, but I don't like to see the Packers play the Packers too much anyway. You know, it makes me nervous. But I think football players will find a way to show themselves, and it'll be our job to make sure we see it.
You talked about turnover and change being inevitable. Given these rather strange circumstances this year, maybe this is a little more turnover than normal. Is there anything, does that make you nervous?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, we had the turnover. It looks like a lot of turnover because we didn't start in March. You know, if you did a little bit of stuff in March and you do a little stuff in April and then you draft at the end of April and then you have your mini camps and you have all this time, and all that time there can be transactions. And instead, since the start of the lockout until yesterday, there could be no transaction. So they all get piled up into, you know, a day or two.
And I think some people are kind of surprised that Brandon Melvin is still here. What are we seeing in him?
Well, I can't speak specifically about, I think, what you're talking about, just because I think it's a legal matter. Yeah. Well, I don't know. We're not going to judge before it's time.
Your thoughts on Don McNabb joining the
team? He's a very good quarterback. He's been a great pro, and we wish him well most of the time.
What, as someone who had to go through 2 days, I'm sure you're probably happy that they're gone, just because you don't, like you said, you don't like to see the Packers versus Packers stuff. Much of you're happy that 2 days are gone, or you prefer to see them still here?
I don't know. I think it was inevitable. I think it was coming anyway. Mike and his scheduling, as you guys know, had gotten to the point where, you know, there were two, maybe a shorter practice in the morning, an evening practice, and the next day there would be an afternoon practice solo. So I think it's inevitable. I think the players thought it was very important in the collective bargaining agreement, and player safety is very near and dear to the people in the league office and the commissioner's office. So I think it was inevitable.
But what was the greatest benefit to you as an evaluator to have 2 days?
I suppose more opportunity to see him, but yeah, I don't know that there's, you know, I think you can evaluate on one practice a day just as well as you can with two. But I'm new school. I'm not old school.
So we ask Aaron Rodgers how his life has changed since winning the Super Bowl. We ask Mike McCarthy that. How has your life changed since when?
Based off the last couple of days, not a lot. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. There's a feeling of satisfaction of being a part of a group of guys like we were part of, but. Outside of that, I don't know that my life's changed. I still live in the same place and drive the same car and everything else.
Those tough decisions that you announced this week, is it safe to say they weren't made this week? I mean, those were things that were in the queue but just couldn't be discussed because of the lockup?
Right. Well, during the whole time, all spring, and even, you know, as you're, you know, even in the playoffs, as personnel people, we were always talking about, you know, what's next, what's next, what's next. So there were ongoing conversations about where we are, the evolution of our team, the maturation of our team, that sort of thing. And so these weren't made overnight, but you still think about them up to the time. So it's like that.
Ted, one thing that the Super Bowl champions always talk about is how, you know, they're already behind by the time they get into the offseason. The lockout, if there was a silver lining at all, did it kind of level the playing field a little bit? This time, this team a little more time away where you might have been behind the eight ball a little bit more?
Well, I don't know. I think that it's, I think one man's sugar is another man's salt. That's probably not a real saying, but I started down it with the sugar thing, and that's all I could think of. There are two ways of looking at that. Number one, our team outside of Pittsburgh practiced and prepared and played football a month and sometimes maybe 6 weeks longer than some of the other teams. So there's an advantage to that in terms of being tired and kind of worn out and being able to shut it down. Maybe from the player standpoint, you know, from our standpoint, it was about the same. But we've been anxious to get going again. I think our players are very happy to be back. I spoke to them last night. I was very proud of the way they conducted themselves during this time, and I was proud of the way the Green Bay Packer organization conducted itself.
Whether it was by just circumstance or was it a plan, but you got 10 draft picks and 17 undrafted guys. Does that just kind of ensure that there's no Super Bowl hangover? Was that part of your plan, or just kind of?
No, we had sort of anticipated maybe that they might expand the training camp roster. So it's a normal kind of breakdown. We're still below the 90, but it gives us some flexibility. If we get a ding or two, we can maybe get somebody else to take a few reps. But that didn't change much. I don't know that, you know, we normally have close to 10 picks by the time we get done, and our number of free agents is probably a little bit higher than it normally is.
Is there a key to success this year in dealing with these very different circumstances? Do you see a particular thing that you need to do to be successful this year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the same as it's always going to be. We're going to have to prepare. Guys are going to have to get ready to go. It'd be nice, and it's easier if you can stay healthy, you know, and play good. I don't think it's going to be a lot. You know, when I was playing, you know, in the off season, it seems like it'd take a long time, and we didn't have all the organized OTAs and all that. Then we had helmets with face masks, but once you get into training camp, after about the third day, it feels like you've been there for like 6 months. And our guys, most of our guys, have been here for 3 or 4 days during this transition period. Certainly they weren't able to do anything, but they could meet and that sort of thing. So I would imagine our rookies are probably feeling they've already been here for a month or so. But it'll just be all a matter of getting ready and going. You know, we're going to have the family night thing next week, and we're going to play the Cleveland Browns the week after that. We know that for a fact.
And you talked about when you got cut, you know, by the end of the conversation, they're trying to figure out why they cut you, because they said all those nice things about you.
Right.
In all seriousness, though, when you have to say goodbye to a guy like Kaucher after 11 years or Barnett after 8, does that rank right up there as the worst parts of your job?
Yeah.
Do you think you guys maybe need to do something a little bit more for those guys in terms of their departures than just a press release yesterday?
Well, with that's probably my fault. And I saw the criticism in the press, and I appreciate you guys pointing out my failings there. We were in the middle of negotiating with and trying to get all of our college guys done, and Russ is doing this, but I'm usually tagging along. We were doing all the other stuff that we were doing, and rather than try to do a paragraph or so that of each one, we just thought we'd do that, and hopefully there'd be a time when I could say publicly, like I have today, about the guy. So I probably messed that up. That's my fault.
Ken, how long do you think it'll take to tell if guys are in shape? Is that something, the conditioning factor, is that something that's going to jump out, you think, in the first 2 days or even less than that?
I would think it probably will. You know, you'll probably see that, if in fact that is it. Just looking at our guys, and they have their little part of their physical is a little bit of a movement screening thing that they do down there. They did that yesterday. Now, I never go to it, so I didn't go to it yesterday just to stay consistent. But our guys, just to look at them, they look like they're in pretty good shape. But football's a different thing, so they'll have to get used to that. And they'll be sore. But hopefully we're going to try to be very smart about this, and the coaches are all on board in terms of trying to be smart about what we put them through.